Oh, wait a second. That ain't right. Hold up. That's not what I wanted to do. I think this is what I wanted to do. I mean, we're at a different station here and everything. We gotta change this up a little bit and stuff. So let's... There we go. Yeah. Well, that feels better. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to WIRI's Playmakers. Hope you all are having a great afternoon out there. We're about to have some fun. For the next hour, we're going to talk sports with you. You can call in and join the conversation anytime you want. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. We'll have you join the conversation of Michael and I. Got Michael Comer here, our sports director here at WFHR and WIRI. Hey, man. Good to have you with us.
It's good to be here, buddy.
Appreciate the time. I appreciate all of you being with us out there. And we are doing something a little bit different now. This is our first inaugural show here with our new team. Got a new jersey. We feel good about it. We want to have a good first game. And one of the ways we're going to do that is talking NFL draft, especially we're only a couple hours not only away from where the draft is taking place, but of course the NFL draft taking place 24 hours from now. Just about. So we're going to talk draft. Michael and I will get into that in a little bit. Also going to get into the Pacers and Bucks. Got a great story of the show lined up for everybody. Michael, want to start a little what we do here at WIRI, cover high school sports better than anybody. We got a great one coming up tomorrow. Girls soccer, Marshfield at Lincoln. That is pretty cool. That is we don't get to put soccer on the radio as much as we'd like to, and this is a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. It's kind of the first time I'm going to be doing soccer on air. But if you think about it, and you look at the rules of soccer, and you look at how it's played, it's essentially hockey on grass.
Yeah. No. It's I hear what you're saying. I would say too, where hockey, it's so intense. Yes. And there's so much going on. Not to say the soccer doesn't have that, but soccer, I would imagine, is some kind of combination of hockey and baseball, where there's a pace to it. Yep. Because of that, you almost have to pace yourself. So I would imagine it's part of the bit of soccer I've listened to on TV or radio or whatever, and I'm not at all a soccer head, but the bit that I've listened to, especially like during the World Cup or something like that, the announcers almost sound like the players must feel, where they're pacing themselves. And Messi is, you know, he's not giving it every 5 seconds, you know, all the whole game. Every minute he's going up and down.
Right.
They're pacing themselves. They're saving their energy for certain things. And you know, as an announcer, when you hit that goal, you want to be able to really nail that goal. You really want to have that, you know, something great. Otherwise, I mean, it doesn't count if you just say goal. That don't count. You got to really nail it.
Yeah, or shot and a goal.
Yeah.
Marshfield. Yeah. Shot and a goal.
Yeah.
Rapids. Yeah, you can't.
It's not going to do it.
That reminds me of a story when I was a kid. And we had our dog and, you know, squeaky toys and whatever. And she just went bonkers for the squeaky toys. And we were messed around once. And they say, hey, poke you in the stomach and squeak. See if she gets all. And, of course, me being the genius I am, poke me in the stomach and squeak. And of course, the dog didn't care. Even when we did it the right way, she didn't care either. But that's besides the point. You just got to have the excitement for it. And it's
exactly.
And, I mean, like hockey, soccer, you're going to see back passes to open up defense. You're going to get some lob shots. Offsides is a big thing to keep an eye on. Just knowing, even though it's an international game and it's everyone else's metric, they still talk the 9-yard box, the goal box, the 18-yard box, and whatever. They still talk about yards out. So it's it's a little interesting to think of it that way.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, when you get Rapids and Marshfield, I don't care the sport, it's always a pretty good one. And I'm looking forward to getting that on the airwaves tomorrow.
We're excited about it. We're also excited about not only that, but bringing you more and more of these kind of games, whether it's soccer or tennis or, you know, hockey or football or anything else that we can cover. We're going to do our best to cover it.
Tennis would be a little hard for a play-by-play because you got usually all seven going on at the same time.
Right,
that's a little difficult. But
does make it
You know, volleyball in the fall, we've talked about that
there
a little bit already. Looking forward to that. Cross country is a little tough. Oh, just ran by.
Mm.
Oh, ran by again.
Yeah, it might be a little bit tough.
Or track, for that matter. And not making fun of those sports in their own right,
because
they're fun.
No.
They've all got their unique things, and they're all a lot of fun to report on in their own right. But, you know, volleyball, football in the fall, get two in the fall. You got the three, the soccer. Well, you got soccer in the fall as well with the boys.
Yeah.
So you got three in the fall, you got three in the spring, and then everything in the winter and add some wrestling in there. So, you know, that's one thing I wouldn't mind getting back on the airwaves here at, you know, WIRI and WFHR and everything with it. So that'll be something that I'm kind of looking forward to. And, of course, just more sports content that you can call in and give your pointers, give your feelings, your opinions. And, you know, whether it's the draft or the MLB or the attempted playoff appearance by the Bucks so far, NHL playoffs, I've been having fun watching that.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's just the more talking sports, the better.
Girls soccer for you tomorrow right here at 105.5 WIRI 650. Our pregame will kick off. Mike and Seth will be covering that one from the pitch over at Lincoln. Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. And we're looking forward to talking about this on Friday's Playmakers because, again, this is our new home. This is where we are going to be going forward. And it's a perfect fit because, of course, we have all of our high school sports over here, River Kings home games. And it still kind of spreads things out a little bit because you still got everything Badgers related over on WFHR along with the Rafters. And so we both stations are getting a bit of sports, and that's fun because it's not only profitable for everybody, including not just our stations, but obviously our communities. But it's fun. We love sports. And we want to remind everybody, and I try to throw this PSA out there any chance I get, you got sports takes and feelings. If you're a sports fan, you have them. There's only semi-rational sports fans. There's no rational sports fan necessarily. The most calm, collected sports fan, a perfect example, look at almost any pope in human history. Yep. And they are more calm, cool, and collected. But you bring up a soccer game to any one of those people, and they turn into hooligans. That is what sports does to our brains. And I love it. I think it's a great release. But we want to hear from you. Get those sports takes and feelings out. They can fester. They can, you know, go bad. There's an expiration date on those things, man. You know, if you call up on Monday's show and with NFL draft takes, it's not going to feel good. It's not going to mean anything. You got to get them out of your system now before the NFL draft, where I want to go next, Michael, with you and our listeners. And again, call up, join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Just touch it two away on the Civic Media app. I want to thank our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods for giving us this hour to hang out with you all out there. Michael and I are going to have some fun right now with the NFL draft and do our own mock draft.
All right.
Next year, we'll plan something out a little bit better here. But for this year, I think you and I just kind of go in on these picks. And maybe the audience, if you guys want to make a pick, call up and join the conversation. And you guys can make the pick for whatever round or whatever team we're on or anything like that. I got pulled up ESPN's mock draft along with like Mel Kiper's list and some of those things too. Just looking at this list, I think that it's, you know, Tennessee's not really on the clock. They've already made their pick. It feels pretty certain.
Yeah.
Cam Ward is going to be going quarterback from the University of Miami. Easily the best quarterback in the draft as far as projections go and what they're seeing with the player. I will say, It almost feels too certain, you know? Like everybody's doing this, everybody's making that pick, which with the NFL draft, if you think blue, it's going to be purple. It's going to go a different direction than you think more times than not.
Right.
So I feel pretty certain about that pick, I'm not going to be sitting there and Tennessee trades with New York or some other team, and I'm going to pull my hair out. I'm going to be blown away. It's not that those days are gone. I think I used to be really exciting when some of this stuff happened, but what was it 2 years ago when Houston traded up and they had like the 2 and the 3rd pick back to back. I was like, all right, well, all bets are off now. Like, that's a Madden game. That's NFL. That's Madden. I do that on Madden or something. Basically, all bets are off. But I do think Cam Ward is going to go first to Tennessee. It seems pretty certain.
And you would think so, but that's right about the time Shedeur Sanders goes.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
And I'd even go further down the list to the number 10 rated quarterback, Dylan Gabriel. I mean, the lefty, and I mean, he tore it up at Oklahoma and UCF and Oregon. But how much is that the wide receivers that they have, too?
Yeah. I'll say this. All those names you just mentioned are definitely going in the first couple days.
Oh, yes.
They're definitely going in the first couple of rounds. So we move on from Tennessee to Cleveland and then New York, and I bring up both of them because they have been the talk of trade talk right now, and there's a lot of potential there. I think that it's more likely that Cleveland trades, which I don't think they're going to do for one, but if either one of these teams is going to, it's going to be Cleveland. New York, for one, can't afford to. They've got a GM and a coach that are playing for their lives right now, that are coaching for their lives and GMing for their lives, or however you want to put it. Not only do I not think that they're not going to take Shedeur Sanders. I don't think that they're going to trade down. I think they're trying to trade up and possibly get Cam Ward or something like that. Yep. Maybe. But they're sitting there. If I'm the Giants or I'm Cleveland, I am in an amazing position because both teams need a quarterback, and I like Cam Ward. But if Cam Ward or any of these quarterbacks were coming out last year, every expert tells you they would be day two picks. To me, if I'm Cleveland or New York, I'm in the perfect situation. Well, where I wanted a quarterback, but I can't. I'm so sorry. I have to take Travis Hunter, one of the greatest prospects of all time. Yeah, or Abdul Carter, who is also a freak of nature.
So, first off, I think Cleveland and New York, they need to draft ownership management, personally.
Yes. Yes.
And the same could also be said about the New York Packers. I mean, the formerly New York Packers. I mean, Jets. I mean, that's another one as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Patriots, they're on the way up.
That's the team I think could trade. Now, if Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter slip to one of them, they're not trading out.
Right.
But if those guys are gone, I could see them trading out of that pick. And I think what might happen is somebody's going to end up moving up for Ashton Jeanty. Sad to me in some ways because my team could really use him. But then again, my team could use a lot. So I don't know that it would really change that much.
They're closer than they were, though.
Yeah. I'll say this. When it comes to him, he was my favorite player the last 2 years in college football. And I'm incredibly biased about this young man. I'm really pulling for him. Now, when I was first starting to pull for him at Boise State, he was not a household name. No. And the NFL was on the other side of this with running backs. Oh, running backs are a dime a dozen. Oh, we don't need them or anything like that. And thank goodness for this last year, because the best storyline in football this past season was the return of the run. I'm sorry. Was people being reminded of the running back.
Yep.
They didn't return. Running backs have always been important and always been a key part of any Super Bowl or championship team. But it was as if these GMs and all this needed a reminder, because they all go for parity. Nobody's thinking for themselves. It's all what did Philly do? What did Kansas City do? What did the last team that won do? What did New England do? And everything. Yep. How about you do your thing? Do your thing, and if it don't work, it don't work, but at least you did your own thing. Because when it doesn't work and it's somebody else's idea, you're still taking the blame. You get just as much blame.
Right.
It's not like you could say, but I used the Philadelphia blueprint. How could it not work?
And that's one thing that, not to just steer it right to the hometown team, but that's one thing that Green Bay's always done, is we're going to do it our way.
You saw where I was going.
Yeah. And that's where everyone's talking, excuse me, all the allergies and pollen and everything. But
there are frogs in the air. They've been getting in our throats all day around.
It's horrible.
Here. Yeah.
But you look at everyone saying, oh, they need an edge. Oh, they need cornerback. Oh, they need wide receiver. There's a lot of talk about them going offensive line.
Yeah, I heard that today, too. Yeah, I would say the first time I heard it, but I've heard it today, maybe yesterday, but yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you just never know. And sometimes, and that's any draft. It's just like made minor leagues in baseball. It's a crapshoot. You're guessing. I mean, it's an educated guess. And you like to think it's going to work out, but it doesn't always work out.
I think one of the crazy things about this particular gamble and this particular one is you really don't know, you know, you scratch a lottery ticket, you know, within seconds. With this, 3-4 years, that's when you kind of have a better idea of, okay, like Marvin Harrison Jr. is a freak of nature. Any team in the NFL would give anything for him.
Yep.
Had a good rookie year.
Yeah, but in some regards, someone would say it was a bust.
Exactly. Or next year could be the bust. Or next year it could be the 12,000-yard season or whatever, and then year three, you still can't judge him because I've got two different outliers here. It's a little bit like these quarterbacks going forward, the way I think every NFL team has no patience, and every one of them need it.
And that's the thing, too. It's everyone talks about it, you know, NFL, not for long, and it's win now.
Yeah.
So that's it stinks because it's a double-edged sword. And you're trying to have your cake and eat it too.
There's it's very difficult for me, and I actually kind of like the Bengals a little bit, but it's difficult for me to give them any credit because of the way they run that team. Like, we're a mom and pop shop, and
hey, they're staying in Cincinnati now. There was talk of them going to St. Louis.
There was, so. But the way that they have always run that franchise, which is so in the past, and it bothers me because they've had a lot of players I like, and they're an AFC team, so I don't care as much.
But the Bears have done that way too. Until McCaskey passed away, and Green Bay to an extent were a mom and pop team.
Well, I get what you mean, and definitely different with Green Bay. But when it comes to the Bengals, one of the things that they have, I think, done really right over there is they gave Marvin Lewis, 10-12 years?
Yep.
This new coach, they gave him a chance, and he got them to a Super Bowl after going 2-12 or something.
Other than injuries to Cool Joe.
I know that they have a little bit of a different ceiling to most teams, but to the NFL in whole. But
they don't play in a dome.
No, they don't. That's one thing. You know, at least they don't do. So New England, I think it's pretty safe to say if there isn't one of those big players there, I would not be surprising to see them move. Otherwise, they're probably going to go offensive lineman. Will Campbell from LSU looks like the big name for that. Then the Jaguars are on the table, and God knows what they're going to do. I don't even know if they know what they're going to do. I have seen almost every single mock draft having the DT from Michigan going there. Mason Graham at the edge from Michigan. That's what I keep seeing. He is a solid pick if that's where they go. That young man is going to stop not just the run, but I think he's pretty decent against the pass too. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't think that anything crazy is going to happen there. What I think it gets really wild is right here with the Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Oakland, Anaheim Raiders for now. I'm not sure, you know, I haven't checked if they're going to move again or not. So I'm not sure. I just want to play it safe here. I don't want to get in trouble.
Buren.
I forgot Sacramento Raiders. That's right. Sacramento. They have been projected to grab Ashton Jeanty here, and there's been a lot of speculation about that and a lot of people saying that's going to happen. It doesn't feel like a given, for one, because it seems like everybody wants to move up to get this young man, which could be a complete smokescreen. There's the biggest thing. You notice, and I'm not doing a lot of like, well, Mel Kiper said this or Adam Schefter said this, because I don't believe any of it, and nobody should. There is no advantage to any GM or anybody to be honest right now. Like, unless you're Tennessee sitting at number one and you're that confident that no trade offer is going to be sent to me, that I'm not drafting Cam Ward. Outside of that, every single one of these owners and GMs, and if they're any good at their job, is lying to Adam Schefter and everyone.
Oh, lying through
people.
Their teeth. It's horrible.
Yeah. So I'm not going off of any of that stuff.
Right.
What I will say, when it comes to the Raiders, when it comes to any of these teams going on here, there's been something going on, and it's happened many, many years in football. What's going on with Shedeur Sanders right now? And I'm not a fan or dislike the guy. One way or the other, don't care. I like Deion as a player. I thought he was a lot of fun to watch. I thought that what they did at Colorado was interesting. I thought the storyline was interesting, but I have no emotional ties to any of these players or any of this going on. What does bother me is anonymous sources. The idea that I'm an NFL GM and I can say something to Diana Rossini or one of these great reputable resources that are really good at their job and like, hey, I'm going to tell you something, but I'm not going to put my name on it. So I get to throw this out there and this young man takes the heat, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I get away with it. It carries just as much weight, if not more weight, without the name attached to it. What are we doing here? Are we not trying to get these young men to grow to be great men? That's not what a great man does. A great man stands on his words. Like, you're a big boy. Stand on your words. If you feel that strong to reach out to Diana Rossini or any NFL owner to feel, oh, this is the worst interview I've ever seen. This kid is so entitled and all these other things. You're telling me if his name was Joe Smith and that they wouldn't, they would, well, actually, he's really confident, and I like the way he bounces back from things, and he handles adversity so well, the way they spin this stuff, given certain storylines. What I don't like about this, I'm not even going to get into any of that stuff. That's all here or there. What I am going to touch on is this idea, how long we've been hearing about anonymous sources. Randy Moss smokes weed, so we shouldn't touch him. God, 18 teams, you know, shouldn't touch Randy Moss. God forbid he ends up in a Bear or a Packer uniform or something like that. God, I wish he had. What about the Tunsil, the offensive tackle, who's still playing in an all-pro and everything?
Yep, Larry.
The nonsense of these things. I think it was Aaron Donald where they asked his mom they asked him some really offensive question about his mom and this stuff. Like, what are we doing?
Gauging temperament, honestly, what does that have to do with him playing football?
Oh, that I wouldn't be against if that was it, but I'm not going to give them credit for that.
No.
I am not going to give that. They have not earned that. These NFL GMs, not one of them have earned that.
No.
What they have earned is a real, not only you're a coward from me, which is the biggest insult I could give to anything living, is you're a coward to me. That's the biggest insult in life. And that is what I think of them. That when you don't put your name on something, you're a coward. You're just, well, I don't want to get in trouble here. Then what'd you say anything for? Nobody made you say this. You were emotionally compelled to talk about Shedeur Sanders, and you felt it was very, you know, well, this needs to be, the American people need to know about Shedeur Sanders. Like,
that's a cop out.
Own your words. That's all I'm saying. To me, you know, I may not speak that intelligently. I may not have a lot of smart things to say, but at least I own my words. When I'm a fool, when I act up a fool, I own it.
I try to.
So the Raiders, it does look like they're going to take Genty here. I think he's off the board. They are saying the Armand Memboi, offensive tackle from Missouri, who is also really talented, could go there. Then there's the Jets. To Michael's point, if they could draft Bill Belichick, I feel like they would, and just draft him out of college and pull him to their team or something. But as it is, a lot of people have them projected to take Tyler Warren, the freak of nature tight end out of Penn State. They're going to...
Yeah.
Man, when you look at when you look at Tyler Warren and Abdul Carter, I know Penn State had a pretty solid year, and Kirk Franklin, you know, at one big game. But it's a little bit like looking at Rutgers in basketball this past year, where like how were they not good? They got two number one lottery picks.
Yeah.
It's weird to think that Penn State wasn't better.
Right, and it makes you wonder. Same with Duke, so to speak. So, between Con Knuppel and Flag.
I mean, I know one person who was a Duke fan, and immediately after that game ended, I get a text in our group chat, Coach K would have won that game.
Well,
right away.
I did wonder that myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't lie about that.
Well, I will say this. I asked him right away. I'm like, you mean Coach K now? It's like, yep. So even right now, Coach K would have they feel like would have won it. So.
Even though the game has changed so much, even the short time that he's been gone, there's something about playing for Coach K, just like there's something about playing for Tom Izzo.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, yeah, yeah. Tom Izzo could get me to play,
or even Phil Jackson if he was still in the market. You'd want to play for him.
Certain coaches, I love the Chris Rock joke that I'm not going to do justice to, but where he's talking about, you know, everybody's saying that ethnic people, black people, we need more leadership. We need big leaders. Where's Jesse? Where's the Martins? Where are the Malcolms? He's like Pat Riley. Pat Riley is the greatest leader of black men. It just goes on about how every championship that people have won with black working with Pat Riley. It's a great line.
Yep, that's funny.
Looking at the Carolina Panthers now, they're taking, it looks like they're going to, most experts have been taking Jalen Walker, linebacker out of Georgia. There's also Mikhail Williams, edge out of Georgia. There is another so-and-so from Georgia and another so-and-so from Georgia. There's a lot of players from Georgia that are really good.
Well, then some of them are going to end up – one of them or two of them might end up in Green Bay.
That's where I'm going with all of this because I'm only going up to Green Bay. And I actually wasn't even going to go to Green Bay because I kind of have them moving up a little bit. And very similar to what they did in recent years where it wasn't a gigantic leap, but one, two moves up.
Yeah.
So just playing this out here. You know, Carolina, Javon, say that the Saints do grab Shedeur Sanders, because I think that that's a very realistic possibility, especially they're still uncertain what's going on with Carr. They still haven't gotten clarity on him, and we're less than 24 hours away from the draft, and that's the most recent. So you almost have to take, if not him, Jackson Dart.
Well, I mean, you still got to factor in the elephant in the room, and that's where what's going on with A-Rod. What's going on with Aaron?
I would love to see Aaron Rodgers in New Orleans. Oh, man, I would like to see that. That is an interesting combination. I will say the one thing, maybe this is the first time in years, if not forever, that I actually have seen one thing that I don't want to give him credit for, but I do give Rodgers a tiny bit of understanding for. If he's not signing with the team because he didn't want to get Kirk Cousins. You know, he didn't want to go to a team, and then they draft a rookie quarterback, and he's sitting by, and, you know, he got to wonder about his job.
Yep.
If that was the play, now we all know that he just wants the attention.
To a point, yeah.
But it could be a little bit of both. It could be a little column A, a little column B. He gets his attention, and he's smart about this and doesn't go to a team that goes and drafts Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders or something like that, because yep. Rodgers has been honest with everybody from day one. He has no interest in any more than Brett Favre did in being a babysitter.
Right.
I would not approach the game that way, but it's also the determination and the mindset that it takes for these guys to get to where they do. I don't know what else we can expect. Like this young person, whoever it is, in whatever the situation, whether it's Brett and Aaron or Aaron and Jordan or anything else, when it comes right down to it, they're trying to take your job. And it's hard to me. I would like to be the kind of person, would like to think I'm the kind of person that, well, I'm so good, they ain't gonna take my job.
Right.
You can go ahead and try all you want, young man, but I've got this. So I don't mind teaching you some tricks of the trade or anything like that. I believe in myself that much. But it's also that insecurity that gets him this far,
yep.
That gets Michael Jordan, who gets his JV team doesn't pick him first, which motivates him pretty much his whole career. Aaron Rodgers doesn't get picked in the first three picks, which motivates him his whole career to this day. So it's a tough, you know, game to play here,
right.
Of like, well, I would like him to do this, but I don't expect it. I
right.
kind of get where they're coming from. And if that's the case with Rodgers, where he's leaning a little bit more towards, no, I want job security. I don't blame him for that.
Right.
I can't. It's hard for me to blame anybody for that any more than signing for money, because every contract could be your last.
Yep.
And there is no 401k for
right.
sports
right.
for athletes or anything. So then we look at the Chicago Bears, and they've got a couple of people have them trading down and trading a little bit down out of the draft. In major part, I think, because if Genty or one of these edges aren't there, I don't see that there's a player that they really, especially in Tyler Warren. That was another rumor that they were looking at.
I was thinking offensive line. So you just signed all those veterans that, like we talked about months ago, you signed those veterans. They're long in the tooth. And their offensive linemen, let's face it, one injury, that could be it. I mean, that could be anywhere. That could be anywhere. I understand that.
Oh, no, but you're right. They're all older. Yeah.
But get some of these young guys in there. They're quality offensive linemen. They picked up, learned something, and by gosh, you might be thrown in the mix immediately.
Here's a big difference between Chicago and every other team in that division. Minnesota, Detroit, and Green Bay are playing to win right now.
Yep.
While Chicago certainly wants to win, they've got everything they could ask for in grace with the fan base. You got a kid going into his second year quarterback.
Yep.
You got a first year head coach and everything. So you're never going to have more grace. So if you want to grab a lineman, even if he's a backup, I'm good with that. I'm very good with that, especially some of these kids that are going to be available at this.
Yeah.
If this plays out the way we've been kind of seeing it, Lego and everything, nobody's going after linemen, which tells you that as much as this league is parity and as much as everybody, you watch next year and the next year after that, everybody's going to be trying to be Philly. They're going to have big offensive linemen and throwing all their money and time and effort into their defensive line, possibly, because it isn't as if that's the first time this has happened or anything.
Right.
But at the same time, they're going to do whatever they think is not only best for them, but best for their bottom line. You know,
yeah.
I don't believe that out of these 32 teams, every one of these teams is playing for a Super Bowl. They tell you that, but there's nothing that Jerry Jones has done in almost 20 years, let alone the last 10 years, that tells me he actually
right.
wants to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
I would say right to his face, I'd look him dead in the eyes, and I'd say, you care more about finishing in the black than you winning a Super Bowl.
No,
for you, that this is what matters. And I would not judge him on that, but don't lie to me about it either. Tell
right.
me a Super Bowl is all that matters. No, I don't believe you, Jerry. I don't believe you. I've seen the moves you made. I don't get it.
Same with Anastasio.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I there's a couple of teams I think that you could say that about, including teams that I like and that I'm rooting for and I think could do something and everything. So we're looking through here. You got San Francisco way higher than they were planning to be.
Yep.
Then, of course, Dallas, where everybody, all of us expected them to be. In Miami, you know.
Miami's another one that I could say maybe start looking at a quarterback.
I would, especially if a Jackson Dart or somebody like there is sitting there. In major part because why not? Like, Tua, as much as I wish him good health, you can't count on it. So I think what we'll do, we'll take our first time out of our first run here at WIRI's Playmakers. Take a time out. We'll come back. We'll get to the Packers pick. I got a story of the show. We got some other things for you as well. Get into a little bit of other sports talk here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods here on 105.5 WIRI. Welcome back, everybody. WIRI's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Hope you all are having a great Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. All right, let's go. I'm trying some different stuff out. I'm going to try some different ones out here, see what works for bumper music and what works for our intro music. I think Beer for My Horses is going to be it, though.
That's a good one.
I can't help it. There's something about Toby Keith that always gets me. Michael Comer here, sports director at WFHR and WIRI. James J. with you as well. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good Wednesday out there.
Oh, yeah.
We're taking phone calls. We're wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. We're looking forward to talking. You can text us or call in through the Civic Media app. Encourage you to do that. Let us know that the phones are working. we love talking with you, everybody. And this is something, too, that I think that the audience, because we got the best listeners in radio on both these stations. Them, us, everybody's got to also kind of understand and have some grace with. This is new. This is different. You know, there's people flipping on the radio right now, like, what is going on? I wanted to hear Eric Church. Why am I hearing him? Well, you know, so it's going to be a little different, and that's okay. You know, we for one thing, nobody does different or weird like we do here. I'll tell you that. I'm proud of that.
I'll vouch for you. That's
yes,
you, man.
Definitely. But we also know that this is going to take some getting used to, and also just people knowing that it's even on. I mean, just being blunt about it. We don't have a lot of backing when it comes to advertising and that, so we're really appreciative to our sponsors and to the word of mouth of these listeners and everybody else. Call up, join the conversation, or just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Thank you all for downloading the app. Michael and I are going through a bit of a mock draft of our own here at Playmakers, and we are up to the late first round where Green Bay is stationed.
Yeah, we were just about pick 13. We're with Miami and talking about probably looking to a quarterback. But then after you look at that, 14. The Colts, 15. Falcons, 16. Cardinals, 17. Bengals, 18. Seahawks, 19. Buccaneers, 20. Denver. They all have quarterbacks of the future. They've all got guys they're going to have. Yeah. And that's the way it's going to be up until you get to pick about, 21 with Pittsburgh and the elephant in the room we just got done talking about with Aaron. And then 22 to the San Diego LA Chargers, and they've got their quarterback. And then you go to 23 where the Packers have a quarterback, but where are they going to go?
So real quick, before we go to get to Green Bay, I have a question for you and the audience about Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh drafts Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, or something like that, do you think Rodgers doesn't sign there? Because I almost feel like this is almost a standoff right now where there's not a lot of options for him. And it's almost as Pittsburgh or bust in some ways. So if it especially if New Orleans grabs a quarterback like we all think they're going to, and there's no real timetable on Derek Carr, so he'd be sitting there too.
Yeah, he's up on blocks.
Where Pittsburgh, it's Aaron Rodgers or insert rookie name. It feels like it's one or the other. I wonder for him, it's one or the other.
I've had a lot of time to ponder this, and I've been pondering it. Would Aaron be as gutsy, I had another term, but would he be as gutsy to sit there and say, all right, Pittsburgh, I'll come play ball for you. I'll do my best. Because he's not going to, you don't think he's going to sandbag it. Mm. But do you think he would say, barring an injury, that I am your starter all year? that you do not bench me for your... Do you think he'd hold them hostage like that?
You know what? I'm saying this is I think Mike Tomlin may be the best coach in football. It's a way of smacking that right in the face of like a good coach eating his own words and putting his foot in his mouth from last year and saying Russell's our starter and Russell's going to be our starter. Russell's our starter. All that, and then you get the trade for Justin Fields and having to kind of almost take back his words a little bit. Yep. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm leaning heavy on that. If I make that deal, I'll say this: if they go Jackson Dart, everybody's telling you Jackson Dart needs time. He's not ready to go. So in that situation, maybe it's not so bad.
I think it really depends on the pick.
Yeah.
Because if it's someone
guys might even be there.
I mean, that's one thing. If Aaron can sit there with the ego that he groomed the next one.
I just realized something.
You can't believe it's not butter?
That actually occurred to me a couple years ago. Okay, and that really rocked me. That take a couple days off work.
Oh, yeah.
with Aaron Rodgers, this is more than likely his last year. I think that's pretty fair to say. I don't think I'm saying anything far-fetched there. Either way, if this is his last year, and it's ending almost like it began, where he's sitting there watching the first round on pins and needles, waiting to see what happens with these teams.
That's a heck of a book ending.
Oh, is that a great storyline? Oh, the storyteller of me loves where this is going. I have no idea where it's going to go, but I do think it's interesting, that storyline part of it. With Green Bay, I would like to see them make a move up if things don't fall the way that it looks like they could. Right now, most people are projecting them to take one of these top wide receivers.
Yeah, Matthew Golden out of that ugly burnt orange team south of the Red River.
Yeah. Wouldn't be, I don't think him or the McMillan kid would be bad picks.
No.
They're both burners. They're both good in their own different ways, while at the same time, I think, bring you something that they don't have in that offense right now. Without knowing... You can't count on Christian Watson right now. That's nothing against him as a young man. I wish him the best.
Or Romeo or anything like that. Yeah, or Reed or anybody. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, there's a big difference of are they tough or is their bodies just not able to do this? Yeah. There's a big difference to me. And to me, those guys have proven their toughness 15 times over long before they even put on an NFL uniform, let alone what they've done in the NFL. It's more about you don't know. Even if they are playing, I don't know that I can count on them for 15, 16, 17 games.
I mean,
if you're Green Bay, you're not playing a 17-game season. You're playing a 20-game season. You're looking at this the long run. That's the way that Green Bay, Detroit, all these teams should be approaching it. If they're not, then they're going to be ending their season in week 16, week 17.
Right, and that's one thing with Green Bay is you touched on it. How is Watson going to come back from that injury? I don't know. I mean, it's a bad one. I was there. I saw it, and you didn't think anything happened.
Right. You were there,
But when that Chicago player's jumping up and down, screaming, waving for the trainers to come, and I mean, but that's the big thing. It's just a game. This is, they're brothers in arms here. And, hey, we don't want nobody getting hurt.
Yeah.
And then you got Romeo Doubs, who brain trauma. But I do believe some people are more susceptible to it. And he might be one of them who is, just like Tua is.
Yes.
And then Reed, what's the issue that most people have had with him? Hold on to the stinking ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it hits you right in the hands, or I've got other creative term. But I do like
that piece. And I like him as a receiver.
He's got speed to kill. But the question mark is, how many of these guys are actually going to be able to play next year, or this coming year, let alone make it through an entire season because of those nagging injuries and in the history of it? Man, you got to start thinking that maybe that number one receiver. Now, they did pick up Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
They picked him up, and that's is he a one?
It's a nice piece.
He could be the one to start the season.
Yeah, yeah. And then you've got – that's a great way to put that, to start this season. Because
he might have to be.
With injuries, he hasn't been healthy his whole career either. So maybe he starts the season as that number one, and then one of these rookies, it takes it over later in the season
maybe
or something.
Maybe they can and get a couple older receivers, older statesmen like Andre Rison and Don Beebe come back and like they did in 96.
Man, I loved Andre Rison. Man, I was a big Rison fan. I liked him a lot. Todd Beebe was great, too.
Oh, this, fearless. He's fastest.
Fearless.
Fastest guy on the team. Well, actually, he's a hair slower than Travis Jervy. But those two, boy.
I don't care if this gets me in trouble or not. I loved the gutsy, speedy, white wide receiver with the long hair or the mullet or something. Yep. I miss those days. I loved that. Yep. There was always, what was his name?
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson was good, but Jordy was, Jordy's a hybrid.
Oh, yeah.
Jordy's fast and all those things. He's not necessarily what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of, who was the returner for Green Bay? The mullet, long blonde hair. Gosh, I can't think of his name. I had it on the tip of my tongue. Call up, join me. Let me know. I don't want to Google it.
I'm always thinking of Travis Jervy. He did that in the 90s.
Oh, there's another one, yeah.
Yeah, in the 90s, he was a running back, special teamers, and kick returner.
That's a good one.
But I know what you're talking about.
So with Green Bay, we're looking at receivers here, but what would you like them to do? Would you like them to grab an edge? Would you like them to go offensive line or move up or stay pat, move out of the draft? What are you thinking? If you're I almost said Ted Thompson. If you're Goody, what are you doing there?
Man, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because like we talked about a little bit ago, there's no cookie-cutter approach for it with Goody. There isn't one. Right when you think he's going blue, he's going yeller. You know, he's going plaid. He's doing something. He's thinking outside the box.
Justin Harrell, something like that or
right.
Whatever. Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a heck of a linebacker there. And is Green Bay's linebacker department really weak? No, I don't really think it is. Their safeties are strong. I mean, maybe he will go defensive back, cornerback. Maybe he will. But at the same time, offensive line, because they've been having to shuffle it around. I mean, you're going to be moving Elgton Jenkins to center, and he's the best offensive lineman you got. Are you sold on that left tackle, left guard side? Are you sure?
Yeah.
That's because we've seen where that left side of that O-line, and you're going to need somebody who's obviously a mammoth of a man come in there who's going to play in that phone booth set. That's a mammoth phone booth, too, but
what I think is going to happen, which means the opposite is going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to go best player available.
Yeah.
And whether that's a lineman or a defensive lineman, I think they're staying right there.
Yeah.
I think if one of these two top receivers do happen to slip to them, then that may be where they go if they have them higher on their board. But they're going to stay to that board. They're going to stay true to that board, I think, because of the unpredictability and the fact that there's such a hair difference between so many of these players. After you get done with the top three or four players, it is just a gamble on every single one of these athletes.
Well, and here's my question. This just popped up in the melon here. Let's just say, for argument's sake, Travis Hunter. Let's just say here. Because he said, hey, if I don't play both ways, I'm just not coming out. And that could be a big turnoff to a lot of these teams that, you're not getting it your way? And honestly, if he did fall that way, he did fall that far to 23. Green Bay, if you do give him that, you just picked up two of your most needed things in one player.
Travis Hunter walks into Lambeau, he immediately becomes the number one corner and one receiver.
Think about it.
He's that talented.
Just think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that would be amazing. I'd love that, especially him in our division. I don't care what team he's playing for. I think it'd be just fun to watch that young man grow as an athlete and everything.
I mean, at some point, he's going to have to pick one or the other.
Absolutely.
But, and that's the caveat there. If he does slip that fall, Green Bay, think about it. Never say never. Look at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, let's be honest with them
making some crazy move. I mean, nothing. Again, all of this is on the table because we've seen everything happen.
And then here's the other thing, too. Green Bay's hosting the draft. What if Green Bay didn't pick on day one?
Now, that's come up with a couple of sources.
I thought
that was really interesting.
Now, would there be a lot of really ticked off Packer backers? Yeah. I'd be sitting there thinking, but at the same time, this isn't Green Bay's party. This is the league's party.
Yeah.
And it's in arguably the best town, this best city in the NFL, arguably. You know, there's Pittsburgh.
I'm not going to fight you on that one.
Pittsburgh would say, hey, come on. But Kansas City would, too. But man, they're there, and I think about the economic boom that the draft is having on Green Bay. Mm-hmm. You got to figure in they bring in over $1 million per game. So yeah. Think about, you have that for three stinking days, a whole 3 days for sure, and then think of the whole week's festivities, and even into next week when people are vacating town, that we don't care. You're already here spending your money, and it's not Packer fans' money. It is Jets and Raiders and Rams and Bears and everybody. Oh my! It's everybody. They're getting everybody else's money. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll forego Packer fans' money right now. We'll get you during the season.
I don't think one, especially because they are so smart with their draft picks. If they're trading out of the first round, I think there might be a groan at first from Packer fans, but once they see the details, they'll come around. Especially, yeah. It's all weekend. This is just the first round.
Yeah.
This is going on all weekend. So. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gonna have plenty of time to be able to enjoy and scream about picks and all that. And I don't think that Green Bay and man, I would love to know if I'm wrong about this. So please call up and let me know. I don't think that necessarily Green Bay or even Wisconsin or even Packer fans are insane about this. Excited, happy, looking forward to it, all these things. But this isn't the game. Like, I don't know that you can get every Packer fan I've ever known, including family members and some of that, every single one of them, to get them really jolted, to get you really jolted, Michael, it's got to be game. It's got to be a game. You know, you can get excited about a trade or a draft pick or Reggie White coming here or something like that. Sure.
That's all cool, man.
But if you know Packer fans, that's cool, but that's like a 7 or an 8 when I know them as a 13 or 14 or something like that. To me, the ceiling is much higher on that. And the draft just can't – it's not the draft's fault. It's not a game. There's no wins or losses being decided.
Right.
And I come back to this all the time when this draft comes up or the start of the NFL season. What I have grown up with, especially going from Chicago to here, is that's title town. That's what they're known for. So to me, anything short of that is what the fan base expects.
Yep.
And that's what that's the Yankees over there or Alabama or any of these franchises. That's the bar you set. That's what you're looking at. And so to me, you have that in a whole fan base that's built on that. How are they going to get that excited about a draft? You can't.
Right.
You're not adding to the Lombardi statue over there because of a draft pick or anything.
I mean, in a long roundabout way, yes, you could be. But are you directly? No.
And so I see what you're saying about if they traded out of the first round, there'd be some noise, but it wouldn't be like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to my
bed. Yeah, we're going to burn the place down.
Yeah, no. It wouldn't be anything like that.
No, we're just going to go back across Stadium View and have a couple cold ones.
Which is exactly, yeah. Which is what you might do if you like the pick, too.
Yeah. Well, I will let you say that's what you're going to do. And I'm not plugging Stadium View over Kohl's or D3 or anything. I'm not plugging anybody more than the other, but there's going to be plenty of that, and you know what? I hope everybody has fun and everyone's safe over there.
To those that don't like it, I completely get it. I respect that wholeheartedly, but since I was a little kid, since I've lived in this state, this has been one of my favorite days, times of the year. And when we come back, I want to know, do you think this is the best time of the year in the sports calendar? NHL, NBA playoffs, you've got baseball going on, the NFL draft. Ooh. I haven't even talked about Talladega. We just got done with the Masters and some other things. So I don't mean just this week. I mean this time of year with all of these different sports going on. Is it the best time? Let's hear from the audience and find out when we come back here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods on 105.5 WIRI. Yeah, that just feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this is it. This is what we're going with. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody, here on 105.5 WIRI, inaugural show over here. We've been having a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Love to hear from you. I've been seeing a bunch of people jumping in on our text and mentioning the picks that they would make and some of that. So go ahead and actually tell me the picks, everybody. You know, if you're going to jump in, hey, please, that's great. But I want to know who you're picking. Please let us know. And feel free to talk about about it on Friday with us. We'll be getting more into draft talk and plenty of high school athletics, what's going on with our rafters. I want to remind everybody, get to northwoodsleague.com, get your rafter tickets, take a look at that promotional schedule and some of the cool things that got lined up. Michael, I want to get to our story of the show real quick.
Yep.
And that question I asked as we went to break, I think we keep that one out in the open and in the ether and everything, and let me know, if what's your favorite time of the sports calendar? If not, if this isn't the best time necessarily, what you think is your favorite time of the sports calendar? We'll get into that in a moment. But two stories of the show real quick in the last couple of minutes we got. Jimmy Fredette retired from the NBA, from basketball, I should say. He has been in the NBA in a while.
I was sick of South Park. God, Jimmer.
Yeah, it's a great reference. And I thought this was a great story. And this, if somebody had written this in a Hollywood script, we would laugh it off that it would never happen and far-fetched and get out of here. You'll never write in this town.
Get out of here.
Hitting a home run is cool. Hitting a grand slam is even cooler, but hitting a grand slam directly at your mom out in left field and having her walk away with that baseball has got to be one of the greatest feelings for any human being.
Yep. I say just roll the credits.
Yeah.
Roll the credits.
Ole Miss catcher Austin Fawley
and his mother
got to experience the insanely improbable moment during the Rebels' win over South Carolina this past Saturday. And he's in college. He's got a long future ahead of him, I'm sure. Hopefully. But it would be tough right there to be like, you know what? I'm done. I'm never topping this. There's no home run. I don't care if I win a World Series. There's nothing that tops. My mom got my grand, just happened to be right there and got that ball. I'd be tempted. I wouldn't do it, but I'd be tempted to just like drop the mic. I'm done. That's a cool moment, man. That's my story of the week. That's a good one. I admit Mother's Day around the corner. Being a proud Jewish son of my, if you have a Jewish mother, you have to reverence her every chance you get.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a little biased on that one, but I thought that was a pretty cool story. Much cooler than what's going on with the Bucks and Pacers right now, where we're still waiting for. I don't want to say that Milwaukee hasn't shown up. What I'm afraid of is that they have. And this is the best they've got right now. And if that's the case, I think something that you and I talked about maybe even 2-3 months ago, I think it's bound to happen with Giannis wearing a different uniform next year.
I think you're going to see a total rebuild, which I don't think Doc Rivers survives this one.
No.
And you're going to see Lopez. You're going to see everybody that can be moved move. And you're going to see Giannis sit there and say, I am not going through a rebuild. Send me elsewhere. Thanks, Milwaukee. I want to help you rebuild because I love you that much. Send me elsewhere and get as much as you can get.
In a perfect world, I'd love to see him finish with Milwaukee. I really like him. I've enjoyed his career, and I think he is good, I know he is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
And I know he is one of the best I've ever seen play the game.
One of.
But he is closer to the end than the beginning.
Yes.
And with the injuries, and to be honest, and as he has owned himself, his playoff experiences in the last couple of years have also left a lot to be desired as well. Dame Lillard, we don't know what we get, and I love Damian Lillard, but you don't know what you're going to get with him. You tried, it didn't work. It was a good shot. It looked good on paper, and it was a great move, and everybody in the NBA would have traded for Dame Lillard.
Yep.
So there's no crime in that. What there's a crime in is hanging on too long, running it back year after year after year when you know the worst thing that
Aaron Rodgers.
The worst thing in sports to me, it's not being bad, it's being mediocre. When you're mediocre, and ownership can say, but well, look, we're trying, look, we're doing, and you know, you don't rebuild, or you don't go out there and go for moves or anything, because, well, we just stand pat, and look what we did last year, when every fan tells you, you got lucky last year, or something like that. I don't care what the sport we're talking about, the death of a team is mediocrity. You can build on mediocrity if you have a smart franchise that can, hey, we got this young athlete, let's go ahead and surround him with other great athletes. Jordan Love's pretty darn good. We're going to give him Josh Jacobs. That's what a smart franchise does. What some of these other ones do is just, you know what? We're okay. We're pretty good. You know, we did all right last year. We finished 8-8. Let's just go ahead and stay right here in mediocrity. It's comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
I like being in the middle rounds and never getting better or worse.
The 90s Chicago Bears.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Dear God, yes. But, man, Neil Anderson deserved better. it's been a lot of fun, you guys. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us. Inaugural show. A little rough, a little, edgy here and there, but we'll smooth out those edges. Looking forward to being able to hang out over here in these new with our new Diggs at 105.5. Got some great country music coming up for you, everybody, and I'll be back in the morning with the Sunrise Show from 7 to 8. Michael, thanks for a lot for being here. Appreciate you. You have a great night, and we're thinking of you and yours, okay?
All right. No problem, buddy. Thank you.
We will be back with more Playmakers on Friday. Thanks to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Have a good night, y'all.